This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Is it a surprise what's unfolding now in Ferguson, Missouri? Unlike the shock of the Rodney King verdict back in 1992 and the subsequent explosion in Los Angeles, the radically different views among blacks and whites of the O.J. Simpson verdict back in 1995. Is the headline in 2014 that we are becoming accustomed in the United States of America to hearing this?
The duty of the grand jury is to separate fact from fiction. They determined that no probable cause exists to file any charge against Officer Wilson and returned a no true bill on each of the five indictments.
That's St. Louis prosecutor Robert McCulloch yesterday announcing no grand jury indictment against police officer Darren Wilson in the shooting of Michael Brown this past summer. That decision, long awaited, brought out an anger simmering for more than 100 days in Ferguson and a collective feeling of betrayal among African Americans, betrayal expected this time, it seems, and a war zone feeling of menace and chaos on the streets where an enormous deployment of law enforcement failed to prevent this. Hundreds of people took to the streets almost immediately in Ferguson in some of the worst violence since the shooting. Violence that President Barack Obama could do little about, even with this statement from the White House.
We need to recognize that the situation in Ferguson speaks to broader challenges that we still face as a nation. The fact is, in too many parts of this country, a deep distrust exists between law enforcement and communities of color.
That tragedy sounded like this in Ferguson. In some neighborhoods, storefronts were set on fire, bottles and rocks thrown, windows of businesses smashed, gunfire, reports of arrests. Shortly after 1 a.m., the National Guard was deployed in Ferguson. It watched over an uneasy calm as night became day, revealing that violence was, in fact, concentrated in just a few neighborhoods in the St. Louis area, and mostly peaceful protests were held in other cities across the country, from Los Angeles to Oakland, Chicago to New York City. Is it democracy or anarchy? Our first voice this hour says it's democracy, all right, but a democracy under threat. Reverend Osagie Fonseca grew up in St. Louis. Today he is a pastor from the First Baptist Church in Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts, leading trading efforts in Ferguson in methods of nonviolent protests. He's been on the streets of Ferguson for the past 24 hours.
Well, the world witnessed last night democracy on fire and a broken criminal justice system. Young people, inconsolable, having been betrayed by every level of government, took to the street, and many engaged in property damage because their hearts are so broken. These are just not mad mobs of roaming black children, but rather the children of the nation, betrayed by the nation, expressing their heartbreak in a way that the world has come to see.
Now, some will interpret what you're saying there as that there was no possibility in the view of the people of Ferguson who are on the streets, no possibility that this officer in any sense was without fault here, could have been exonerated on any level, that an indictment was an absolute certainty from their perspective.
Well, I mean, given all the preponderance of evidence, as well as the eyewitnesses, the way in which this case was handled by the prosecutor, the refusal of the governor to appoint a special prosecutor, the way in which the police force responded with high levels of police repression in the face of peaceful protests, which was the dominant form of protests over the last 108 days. And then given the fact that every other day, dear brother, every other day, some black child, some black person is unarmed and killed by the police. Every other day, a mother is writing a funeral program that might be the elegy of the democracy. Every other day, children are laying teddy bears and candles at makeshift memorials because black or brown person is killed by the police or a vigilante with little to no recourse in the justice system. So what we saw last night is a pent-up anger and frustration by a generation that has been betrayed by the nation, lack of economic opportunity. And so it just seems par for the course, just again and again.
Reverend, it sounds like what you're saying is that violence based on those circumstances was the only democratic natural response to the decision of the grand jury.
No, I am not saying that at all. I am saying this, that our children are hurting, that our nation has betrayed them. There are 15,000 African-Americans in Ferguson. Two-thirds of them, 10,000 of them, have arrest warrants for minor things like not cutting their grass properly or putting out their trash wrong. The level of repression, one-fourth of Black folk in Ferguson live in poverty. In places throughout this country, up to 50% of African-American men are unemployed. Not that they're not seeking work, but they're unemployed. I'm saying that the realities that these young people live in, and I have been in the street with them for over 100 days. I've heard them say on the street time and time, I'm ready to die because I don't have anything to live for. I'm saying that is what produces. This is not to justify the violence of the protesters, but let us be clear. When we emphasize the violence of the protesters and to emphasize particularly the destruction of property, it makes me want to raise the question, how much property is Michael Brown's life worth? How much property is Eric Garner's life worth? How much property is John Crawford's life worth?
You make a compelling point, and of course, these lives are precious. There's no value to them. But when you say democracy is on fire, how do you reconcile that with how disengaged the African American community is politically in Ferguson? 12% of them voted.
Let's be clear now that African-Americans nationwide, because, you know, there were protests all over America. They shut down all three bridges in New York City. Right. They were on the steps of the Supreme Court. They were at the White House. Right. So this is not just a Ferguson problem. And even with low voter turnout, does that justify shooting down an 18-year-old child?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that. That is there a way for this system to work with African Americans so disengaged, with communities so divided, the police walking around with guns?
So I'm saying in a situation whereby you are constantly policed and harassed, where there's high levels of documentation of voter intimidation in the city of Ferguson and throughout the country, disengagement and disillusionment is grounded in material evidence. Every level of government has betrayed them. The governor at the state level refused to appoint a special prosecutor. The mayor said there was no racial problem in this town. The police chief unleashed, instead of bringing out an EMT and paramedics for Michael Brown, brought out dogs as though we were in the 1960s. Every level of government has betrayed them. And it is, if you listen to their music, it is clear that they're politically engaged. It is just that they do not have faith in a system of elected politicians who consistently betray them and demonize them in public space.
All right. But if this disengagement continues, this violence will continue because there's no mechanism for these communities to get together.
The violence we're talking about 108 days. It has been minimal. Compared to the high level of repression that they received from the police, over 400 people arrested in nonviolent and peaceful protests. So I'm saying it's been predominantly nonviolent has been the feature of what they have engaged in. And they have engaged in the system because protest is the reason why I have the right to vote. It is the reason why we have the 8-hour workday. It is the reason why America is celebrated around the world for freedoms. It is the reason why the civil rights movement has such a grip on popular imagination in America. And so then the violence, by emphasizing and focusing on the violence, it loses track of the fact that these young people with limited resources, limited access to the civil rights tradition, limited access to elected officials, betrayed by every national civil rights organization, that they've taken to the streets and have been largely nonviolent for over 108 days.
All right, let's get to that then. This is democracy, what we are seeing, whether some of it's not pretty or not, what we are seeing, this reaction. And again, it's around the country. It's not just in Ferguson. You say this is democracy, maybe on fire, maybe not pretty, but in action.
Well, the question is, will the democracy survive? There is a choice before the nation. and that choice before the nation. Will this be a nation that inconsistently, every other day, somebody black is killed by the police, and that in those majority of those instances, there is no justice? Will this be a nation in which black lives will continue not to matter? Or will it be a nation that lives out the true meaning of these its creeds? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all people are created equal and that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. And among these rights, a right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Will the nation live out its creed? Will it live out the true meaning of its creed? Will it honor what it has said on paper? And given what we see on West Florissant, which is a reaction, not a cause, but a reaction to an injustice to an entire people, it seems the case that what we are seeing now, that when Michael Brown's mother wrote the funeral program, she was writing the elegy of American democracy.
Reverend Osagyefo Sekou is a pastor from the First Baptist Church in Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts, leading efforts in Ferguson in nonviolent protest, but he grew up in St. Louis and is very much a local soul, a member of this community on this very tumultuous day in Ferguson, Missouri. Thanks, Reverend.
Bless you, dear brother.
Voices from around the nation now.
Hi, this is Andrew from Portland, Oregon. I'm just incredibly dismayed. I mean, I would say that I'm surprised. I would say it's unbelievable, but given the current climate, I'm not surprised. I'm just dismayed.
This is Andrew Lehman calling from Pound Ridge, New York. We can only hope that the jury in Ferguson did the right thing based on the information presented to them. I know that they have more information than I do.
Hi, my name's Colin Cole from Seattle, Washington. If the grand jury found that there was no compelling evidence that a crime was committed, then I'm inclined to lean in that direction, but I think that their definition of a crime needs to be looked at.
We got this from Mandy on Facebook. I think it says a black boy's life is not valued in the same as a white person. And certainly not a white cop. I think it says Missouri is so corrupt and racist that it wouldn't allow the case to be properly and transparently adjudicated. And I think it demonstrates exactly why the feds need now to get involved. DeSoto, Texas. I'm not surprised. It only reconfirms that the life of black men in America continues to be of no value to white America. What is the value of that prevailing sentiment in our responses and in the voices of you out there? We'd love to hear from you at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Keep the conversation going at facebook.com/thetakeaway.
Support for The Takeaway comes from TIAA CREF, a financial services company helping to create financial outcomes that matter. Learn more at TIAA.org.